for those of you that are just dying to know, after this morning, this is what Mexican bluegrass sounds like. We found out this afternoon. We invented it. And I asked Brother Lopez, I said, so do you know anything about bluegrass music? I didn't know what his knowledge was in bluegrass music, about like mine and his style of music. And he said, no. And I said, so do you know Foggy Mountain Breakdown, you know, which is like a standard bluegrass song? And when he later referred to it as Funky Mountain Breakdown, then we knew that he didn't know anything about bluegrass music. But we did the best we could to educate him. It was a crash course this afternoon. But we've had a good time getting to know the Lopez family and got to play a little bit of music this afternoon. And so we thought we would do this one together. And then Brother Lopez is going to do one for us on his own. And then we'll get to the preaching. So where were we? We were A, weren't we? Okay. All right.
Till I die, redeeming sweeter song I'll sing, thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the
Well, I hope you enjoy this hymn. We have a lot of different hymns in Mexico, and this is one I'm sure you'll recognize, and the words are pretty much the same as it is in English, and this is one of our most favorite songs that we like to sing down in Mexico, so I hope you get a little flavor of what it's like to be in a worship service there in Mexico. Dios nos envió a su Hijo Cristo, Él es salud, paz y perdón, vivió y murió por mí. Pecados, vacía está la tumba porque Él triunfó. Porque Él vive, triunfaré mañana. Porque Él vive. Ya no hay temor, porque yo sé que el futuro es suyo. La vida vale más y más solo por Él. Yo sé que un día el río cruzaré con el dolor, batallaré, ya ver la vida triunfando en vida. Veré gloriosas luces y veré a Rey, porque Él vive, triunfaré mañana, porque Él vive. Ya no hay temor, que yo sé, yo sé que el futuro es suyo. La vida vale más y más solo por él.
Amen. When the saints go marching in, I love that one.
I think I lost my voice from all the laughing and stuff, but again, it's so great to be here with you guys. Let me get this all right, there we go. And so, yeah, so I got my first introduction of bluegrass, and I'm starting to like it. I'm really, really starting to like it, and I may actually take out the banjo. Take a banjo to Mexico. We'll see how that goes. But I've truly enjoyed my time here. And again, thank you, Pastor, for allowing us and inviting us to come. And I really love Indiana. Indiana, everyone's so nice. Everyone is so nice and a lot different from California. You know, I've been to some small towns in Kansas and Oklahoma and parts of Indiana where when people drive by each other, they always say hi. They wave. Even if they don't know the person, they'll wave. If you don't do that in California, you'll get shot, okay? You know, people will think you're throwing a gang sign at them or something. I mean, don't do that in California, okay? I'm just, next time, you know, if you're out there, we don't wave at each other. So, but that's nice. I mean, we don't do that in California. People are just so nice here, and I love it out here. Very beautiful out here. We're talking about how you guys actually go hunting out there. We don't do that in California either. And I mean, just I wouldn't be surprised if hunting was outlawed pretty soon, or you know, in the future. But again, it's so great to be here now. My wife is in the back with our baby, Juliana. Is she sleeping right now? Oh, okay, she's up. Well, so, but we're going to the country of Mexico. And if you weren't here this morning, I'll just real quick, like again, we're on deputation right now. We're at 57%. We're going to Hermosillo. That's the capital of the state of Sonora. And it's right there, borders right next to Arizona, the state of Sonora. And we're about 3 hours away from the border. And after our deputation, we'll be going back there, working with a veteran missionary, training with them, and then we'll branch off ourselves to start a work. We don't know where yet, but we're just taking one step at a time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. I'll have to drink some more water. I'm going to think losing my voice or something. I've been laughing too much and having a good time with your pastor, and he's a character. We're having so much fun. Verse 35. We have to get spiritual now. We have to get serious. Verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Amen. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And this is where I want to have the focus on tonight. The Bible says, "He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messias,' which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." I want to read again, verse 41. "He first," speaking of Andrew, "he first findeth his own brother, Simon, And saith unto him, we have found the Messias, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. I want to preach to you guys a message I've entitled, Loving the Lost Like Andrew. Loving the Lost Like Andrew. Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into this message. Heavenly Father, God, I just want to pray, Lord, and thank you again for this day. Thank you again of what we've learned, that you invite us to be co-laborers with you, to have a part in your work. I thank you, Lord, again, that just as in Romans 10, 13 through 15, God, that that promise of salvation is for everyone. And Lord, I pray, God, and ask that not a lot was said about Andrew, Lord, but we can learn so much from him, even in this one passage of Scripture. I pray, God, you would help us to have open hearts, Lord, to this message. I know there's some points, Lord, that may be a little uncomfortable for us, may get a little bit personal for us. But I pray, God, and ask, Lord, that we will learn and grow and have a bigger love for the lost, a bigger love for our family. We thank you, Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't say amen yet, Juliana. We haven't gotten to the preaching yet. Well, like I said, I'm from California. I'm from San Diego, home of the San Diego Chargers. But, you know, we know recently they moved. They're now in Los Angeles. I'm still very bitter about that. I'm angry about that. We went yesterday, my father-in-law took us to the zoo. And when you go by the zoo in Indianapolis, there's the big Colts stadium. And I was pretty bitter. I was very mad. You guys have your own team still here in Indianapolis, and I don't know whether I was to get mad or want to throw eggs at your stadium. I don't know. I was just that bitter and upset, and the Chargers moved and everything. But if you would talk to any Chargers fan, they would tell you that the most famous player and the most popular player of the Chargers was by the name of LaDainian Tomlinson, as we call him LT. LaDainian Tomlinson was the star running back of the team. He was sixth all-time leading rusher. He had 13,684 yards. He was the face of the Chargers. Any Chargers fan would know who this guy is. Any fanatic football fan would know who this guy is. And some of you are looking at me like, I don't even know who that guy is. But he was the face of the San Diego Chargers. Probably one of the most popular Chargers of all time. But there was a man also by the name of Lorenzo Neal. And then again, you guys are like, I don't know who you're talking about. Lorenzo Neal was LaDainian Tomlinson's fullback. Basically in football, as there's an offensive line, there's the quarterback, and there's a fullback that lines up, and then right behind him was running back. Now this fullback, his job was to take the hit for anyone coming in trying to tackle the running back. He would go into that hole. When the offensive line would make that hole, the fullback would go in, take the hit of the guy, try to make a way clear, and so that LT could run in for the touchdown. LT got all the credit. He got all the records. He had all the rushing yards, but he could not do all of that without the man of Lorenzo Neal, this fullback. No, it's kind of funny how when we think of the apostles, we think of Paul. We think of John, and we also think of Peter. You see, Jesus gave Peter the name Cephas, which is interpreted as stone. Peter was the one who preached to the masses on the day of Pentecost, and Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter, but it was Andrew, his brother, that brought Peter to Jesus. It was Andrew, his brother, and Andrew's name only appears a couple of times in the Bible. When you think of the apostles, rarely sometimes, I know for me, rarely does the name Andrew come to your mind. His name also means manly. Each time he is mentioned, he was bringing someone to Christ. He was bringing someone to Christ. Andrew was the one who brought the boy with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. And most of what we know about Andrew comes from the Gospel of John. And John reveals Andrew as one who was always bringing someone to Jesus. And he began by bringing his brother Peter to Jesus. Andrew and Peter were also the first brother-brother relationship mentioned in the New Testament. We all know who the first brother-brother relationship was in the Old Testament, do we? Don't we? Cain and Abel. It was Cain and Abel. We see that it's interesting that Andrew went looking for his brother when he had found the Messiah. And Cain, where's your brother, Cain? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? It's not my responsibility. I think tonight, are you and myself, are we like Andrew? We go looking for our brother, or are we like Cain? There's a lost and dying world out there. Yeah, well, not my responsibility.
Come on.
Not my responsibility. Andrew was a disciple following John the Baptist. And this whole time, at the beginning of the chapter, John the Baptist was calling out and pointing people to Jesus, the Lamb of God. We see that in verse 29 and in verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But once Andrew found whom Jesus was, the Messiah, he immediately left and followed Jesus. And he went looking for his brother and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And he had a responsibility to tell his brother. Andrew shows us and pictures us a true love for Christ, and that is to bring others to him. How's your love for Jesus? How's your love for the lost tonight? Are we like Andrew, or are we like Cain? Not my responsibility. How can we have a love for the lost like Andrew? We're going to see, I'm not going to take too long tonight, four revealing truths that show Andrew's love for the lost. We'll see, first of all, number one, his priority. His priority. We'll go to verse 41 right now. Verse 41. The Bible says he first. Simple, but it says he first. Andrew's first priority, and what was important to him, was to tell his brother he had found the Messiah. When he had found who Jesus was, he didn't sit there and say, "Oh, that's cool." No, the Bible says that he went looking for his brother. We can tell, we can see a lot about Andrew, about his love and importance it was to him to tell of his brother about Christ. Because the Bible says he first. Where are your priorities tonight? Where are my priorities tonight? Sometimes our priorities are out of whack, aren't they, sometimes? Sometimes, as we talked about this morning, sometimes our priorities are on the temporal rather than the eternal. I remember, you know, we have in California, this is one thing I really love about California that you guys don't have out here, so I'm going to say this. We have what's called In-N-Out. How many of you have heard of In-N-Out before? In-N-Out Burger. How many of you ever had In-N-Out Burger? None of you guys have ever had it before? Oh, you don't know what you're missing. When you go to California, put the first thing on your list, go to In-N-Out, okay? It is one of the best burger places ever. But we were at a missions conference in Northern California, my wife and I, and there was an elderly lady that was talking to us and said, "Hey, I have a grandson that lives in Carlsbad, which is right next to Oceanside, and Oceanside is where my home church is at. Next time you're in San Diego, could you go please visit him? Here's his address. Could you visit him and invite him to church? He hasn't been to church. No one has ever witnessed to him. Could you go visit him?" And being the good missionary that I was, "Sure thing, ma'am. I'll go do that for you. I'll go visit him." And so I put that address in my wallet, and that conference was over, and we made our way back down to San Diego. And that Saturday, they had given us a map. We were going to go handing out tracts and door knocking for a big event that we're going to have the next day. And the map that we had was on a big hilly area. It was hot that day. There was a lot of hills. And short Mexicans on hills did not go well together, okay? I was huffing and puffing. And the track on. I want to invite you to Coastline. Okay, next door and everything. And I was tired. I was sweaty and everything. And we finally I got done with that map. And we get in the car. I blast the air. And I look at my wife and I say, "How about some In-N-Out?" And she's like, "Yeah, let's go do that. Let's go have some In-N-Out burger." And I couldn't wait to get a fresh, ice-cold Coca-Cola. not Pepsi, Coca-Cola, and a big old double cheeseburger and some French fries, and oh, I was looking forward to that. We get in the car and we take off. We're on the freeway and we're about to get off the exit to go to In-N-Out. And my wife says, "Oh, wait, Luis, wait, hold up. We gotta go visit that guy. Remember the guy that the lady, she gave me his address? We gotta go visit him." And being the good missionary that I was, "Honey, can it wait? Could we maybe go after this, or maybe next week? Maybe next week. I mean, it says on the forecast it's going to be a little bit cooler next week. We're about to pull in. It's just right there. I could smell the French fries. I could smell the cheeseburgers, and that ice cold Coca-Cola was just saying my name. You know, Luis. And I said, "Honey, could we wait?" But praise God, I listened to the Holy Spirit that day, a.k.a. my wife. And, I said, "Okay, let's, we turned around, we drove to Carlsbad, we knocked on his door, he wasn't there, left a note, and left a track on there." You see, my priority was myself. And sometimes we can get like that. Yes. It's about ourselves, yeah. Not about others. It's not about the loss. It's about me, myself, and I. I'm the priority. I'm number one. But we got to have a priority for the loss. We got to have a priority for the eternal rather than the temporal. And we see that Andrew had a priority. He first. Not only do we see his priority, we see, secondly, his procedure. The Bible says, again in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother. He first findeth his own brother. And in order to find something, in order to discover something, you have to make an effort to go looking for it. I love the story of by the man of Hiram Bingham, who was a man that had found the lost city of the Incas, Machu Picchu. And this man had to go through a lot to find that city. He had to go make an effort. He had to go climb mountains and talk to people in order to find this great city. And if we want to get something done, if we want to reach the lost, we've got to go make an effort to reach people. When I get to Mexico, I can't just sit around just hoping, "Lord, bring the lost to me." I got to go out there. I've got to go hand out tracts. I got to go talk to people. I've got to go make an effort. Where do you put your effort when it comes to the things of God tonight? The Bible says, Andrew first findeth his brother Peter. He went soul winning. He went looking for his brother. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." He made an effort. What's also amazing when reading the scripture, and sometimes we pass through these stories a lot, don't we? We just read them. But the Bible says, he first findeth his own brother, Simon. Who's it always the hardest to witness to? Is it the random person on the street? Or is it your family? You know, my family, my cousins, they knew who I was before I got saved. My family sometimes sees me as a wacko. "You're doing what?" My family, I have to see them all the time. If I try to witness them, then go, "Well, good, that's going to be awkward, the next family thing." But it's always our family, right, that are hardest to reach in our eyes sometimes. But Andrew first went to his brother. He went first to his brother. And when reading this, I got convicted about this. Here I am going to Mexico to be a missionary, and I have never one time witnessed to my family members. how could I have a love for the lost if I don't even love my own family? And I want to encourage you guys and myself too in this, is that we've got to reach our family. No matter how difficult it can be. No matter what drama they add or what kind of things, Christ loves them too. And it's tough, I know, to have that balance of, you know, well, they do this and do that, and I understand that. We got to have that balance. But we got to have a love for our family. We have to. We know it's a lot harder. We know it is. But the Bible says that Andrew first went to his brother. He first went to his brother. If we're going to reach the lost, if we're going to reach our family, we're going to have to put some effort into it. Recently, my wife and I, long story short, after my wife's mom had passed away, her relationship wasn't great with her dad, and so it had been a while since she had seen him, and it was just recently in December when we were sitting there, and, you know, things change, honestly, when you have a family, when you have a baby, that, hey, we've got to build that relationship with your dad. That's his granddaughter. And I remember we were planning on, hey, we need to go see him. We need to go see him. And I remember my wife saying, well, it's been a long time, and I don't know. And, you know, there's some old feelings there. I don't know if he's going to feel the same way, you know, about me and stuff. But you know what? Put that all aside. I want to see my dad get saved. I want to see him get saved. And I remember we were planning on maybe he would come. He was saying that he was going to try to come out. And we were sitting there in the living room one day, and my wife just said, you know what, I think I need to go see my dad. I need to go see my dad. You mean go there? Yeah. Okay. If that's what you really feel God would have for us, let's do it. Now, we got to get plane tickets. Traveling with a baby. And you see how she is right now? Traveling with a baby. We got to rent a car, get a hotel. The expenses kind of add up, right? Traveling with her on a plane. But you know what? No money, no hassles, nothing that's compared to trying to see someone get saved. Yeah. And we went there. I was able to witness to him. And we're still working on it. Even recently right now, we would go back to Crawfordsville. He'll be there. And he's been asking a lot of questions. I'm going to try to give him the gospel again. If we want to reach people, reach our family, we've got to put some effort into it. We can't just say, okay, one time, oh, you didn't accept? Okay, I'm done. We got to keep praying for them. We got to get on our knees and pray for them. We got to reach out to them. We got to witness to them again and again and show love on them and to pour out our love on them. Have compassion on them. If we're going to reach them, we got to put some effort into it. And we see that Andrew, we see in his procedure that he had effort. He put effort into it. We'll see again his priority, his procedure, and we'll see thirdly his profession. And in verse 41, you want to go back again. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messias, which is being interpreted, the Christ. We see in verses 36 to 37 that John declares that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And if we want to go there real fast in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. The Lamb that has come to shed his blood for us and to take away the sins of the world. And they followed Jesus. And I'm sure Andrew thought, this is not Elias, this is not Isaiah. And I'm sure Andrew thought, I know about this lamb, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. I know that lamb. Is that the lamb that we celebrate at Passover in Genesis 22 and in Exodus 12? And I wonder if Andrew in his mind had thought about Isaiah 53:7. And he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Could you imagine tonight Andrew seeing prophecy fulfilled right in front of his eyes? This is the Lamb of God. This is the Messiah. Could you imagine how excited he would have been? Prophecy being fulfilled right in front of his eyes. And we see his profession that we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. And he was so excited that he had to go and tell his brother. Don't you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember the day when you found the Messiah? When you found the Lamb of God? Do you remember that day when you got saved? Remember the excitement and the joy that you had? Have you lost that fire? Come on. I know for me, I've lost that fire at times. Yeah. But we got to keep that fire burning. We got to keep that excitement. And with the day that we got saved, that should get us so excited that we've got to go tell people. I'm going to tell you something right now. I remember one of the most exciting things about ministry in Mexico, and as you saw in that video, all those kids from the pictures, those are all kids from the route that I was able to start. And we had 32 saved from that route, from kids, young adults, and single moms, and mom and dads, grandmas, grandpas, you name it. We had them on that route. And the most exciting thing to see these kids, when they would get saved, when they get back on the bus, and they would say, I've got to go tell my cousin. I've got to go tell my mom and dad. And they were so excited. And it's sad that a little kid from Mexico has that desire in that heart. And even throughout the months, he still had that fire and that joy. And we as Christians here, we lose it a lot. We lose that joy of being saved. But we see that his profession led to, fourthly, his purpose. And we'll end here. We see that his profession led to his purpose. If you go back again to verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, we have found the Messias, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And we see now here his purpose. And he brought him to Jesus. That purpose was to bring his brother to Jesus. Andrew's new purpose, because of his profession of faith, was to bring his brother to Jesus. Amen. That's right, Juliana. You know what? And I think about that. Our profession of faith should give us a new purpose. Should give us a purpose to tell those of the gospel. We are commanded, again, as we had read in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in Psalm 96:2-4, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. The Lord, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, when talking about Andrew and seeing his priority, his procedure, his profession, his purpose, you may be thinking, that's great and all, but what does that have to do with missions? What does that have to do with, you know, maybe outreach? Well, if you go back, you see his priority. His priority was to bring his brother to Christ. He first. And I hope and pray that we have first in our priorities to reach the lost here and the utmost parts of the world. When you have that priority, as Andrew had, lost people will be your love and priority. Lost people will be your priority. Again, and I'm guilty of it as well, sometimes we put our priorities on things that don't even matter. The temporal rather than the eternal. Well, again, we'll see his procedure. He findeth, He went looking for his brother. He made the effort to find his brother and to bring him to Christ. And reaching people and being involved in mission is going to take some effort. Is that effort worth it? I believe so. Is putting the time to reach out to your brother worth it? I believe so. Is going to the mission field or being involved in sending missionaries to the field worth the effort? I believe it is. I don't know about you, but I want to put my priorities, my procedures, my efforts on the things that will last for eternity. Amen. And I hope that's all of our prayer tonight. I remember when Pastor and I were talking about this. Before I went back to Mexico, I was working a job, trying to help me save up money, and I was kind of going back and forth, doing a little bit of deputation here and there to raise more support to go back down to Mexico for that year. The only job I could find was back at my old high school, working 35, 36 hours a week cleaning bathrooms. I cleaned that bathroom good. But at first, I didn't like it. It was like, Lord, I'm a Bible college grad. I went to a private high school. And I'm going to clean a toilet? And there I was, cleaning bathrooms. You know, after, you know, recess or lunch and stuff, kids full on disrespected. You know, they just make a mess of things. I remember thinking, what am I doing? I'm working this job to save my money to go to Mexico. What am I doing? And I remember one of my classmates that I graduated with pulls up in his nice BMW. Comes out of his car, dressed real slick. And I remember he had said he went to school for some to be a lawyer or some law or something. And again, I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm not. And he comes in the bathroom, and there I am. I'm all dirty from cleaning, and I got paint marks on my shirt and fix the toilet, you know. Hey, Louise. Hey, how you doing? Hey, didn't you go to that Bible college or something? Yeah, I did. Huh. And now you're doing this? Is this where I got you? I remember I felt this low. And I just wanted to go in the corner and just be by myself, you know. But you know what? He's putting his priorities, his efforts, on things that are not going to matter. Right. And God reminded me that day. I've chosen you for a purpose. You're going to be involved in things that are going to last for eternity. Yeah. You're going to, and I pray that God would use me greatly in Mexico. I pray that maybe I would reach a Peter. And they would turn, I don't know, be the Mexican Billy Graham. I don't know. But you know what? That's where I want to spend my life. And I pray for every one of you that you'd have that same mindset. I want to put my priorities, my efforts, into things that will last for the eternal. You will see again his priority, his procedure, his profession. We have found the Messiah. And again, it is the most wonderful thing when someone gets saved. Andrew's profession of faith excited him, and he had to tell his brother Peter. And shouldn't your profession of faith, and when you get the day you got saved, make you excited? And to say, you know what? I've got to go tell people. I've got to go tell my coworkers. I've got to go tell my classmates. I got to go tell them. I got to go tell, be involved in missions so that others around the world can hear of the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And that profession of faith should give us a new purpose. And he brought him to Jesus. And our purpose should be to bring others to Jesus. Whether that be here or being involved in missions, we've got to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Where are your priorities tonight? Are you putting enough effort in reaching people? Has your profession of faith made you excited and given you a new purpose to tell others of the gospel? Not much is said about Andrew, but he reached his brother who made a big impact in this world. And I want to ask you and myself tonight, are we like Andrew, or you first went to go look for your brother, or you and I like Cain? There's a lost and dying world out there. You got to go reach them. Not my responsibility. Am I my brother's keeper? That's the pastor's job. That's the missionary's job, to reach the lost. Not my responsibility. Which one are you tonight? Andrew, or are you like Cain? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for another night of being in your word. Lord, we can learn so much from Andrew. I pray, God, that we would have the right priorities. We would have the right procedure, God. And our profession of faith should give us a new purpose. And that is to tell others of you. Help us, Lord, to have a heart that's like Andrew, where he first went looking for his brother and brought him to you. Help us, Lord, to be like that and not to be like a Cain, where there's a lost and dying world out there. And we say, well, not my responsibility. I pray, Lord, that we would open our hearts to whatever it is you would have us to learn or to change tonight, God. We thank you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.